I am sure if you have been watching the media recently, you have been made aware of the whole Tiger Woods situation up in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And since you are a family counselor and a rabbi and the author of books on, including among other subjects, Why Men Cheat,
yes.
I wanted to ask you a couple of questions. Now, Tiger has admitted on his website to having violated his values and to transgressions. Now, not saying specifically, you know, that he hasn't confirmed that he's cheated on his wife, but he has said that he has, you know, hurt his family, etc. What would cause somebody of that amount of fame and notoriety to stray in their marital relationship?
Well, again, not knowing specifically about, you know, Tiger and his specific situation, other than what the rest of us all know, I think people are very surprised to find out that someone like me, who has researched cheating men and faithful men across America, that 88% of cheating men said that the mistress with whom they cheated was not better looking or in better shape than their own wives. And only 8% of them said that it was sexual dissatisfaction at home that was, you know, a large part of what motivated them within the context of having an affair. So I think what we have to learn to understand is that most cheating men talk about an emotional breakdown both within their marriage and within themselves that makes them primed, sadly and wrongly, for an alluring relationship, an emotional attachment with other people. And that's why I wrote a book before that called Emotional Infidelity, because I think people focus on the sex, and I think it's a mistake. You can break the vows and transgress without actually having sex. The emotional connection largely is what drives the sexual relationship. I've proven that through research. So we have to become much more aware of what's going on in our marital and personal lives emotionally. So when you look at people who are rich and famous and have what's perceived as beautiful women physically, what we tend to forget is that a lot of these media and sports people spend gobs of time and away from each other, away from themselves as far as a family. And, you know, these types of things, it might look glamorous to the rest of us, but it is not a great recipe for an emotionally intense and loving and passionate relationship. And sadly, that is the primary in avoiding cheating and infidelity.
Now, that was the question that came to a lot of people's minds when we first heard about this, is what was he thinking?
Now, yeah.
I mean, Tiger Woods is married to a woman who is arguably, as many of the professional golfers' wives are, very striking in person. Mm-hmm. She's a beautiful young woman. But Tiger is a handsome young man. He's very strong. He's very physically fit. And having mm-hmm. covered athletes in sports, there are always, it seems like, now I'm not... Ultimately, everybody's responsible for their own behavior.
Sure.
But there are a lot of opportunities for temptation, particularly when you're traveling all over the world by yourself.
Yes.
So, you know, what now, turning the corner here on this, what kind of steps can somebody take to rebuild a relationship once this kind of thing has happened?
Sure. Well, first of all, I think opportunity is a part of it. But I think in today's world, there's opportunity for everyone. Clearly, people who travel, perhaps the opportunity is easiest. But most people, the number one place where cheating men meet their mistress is at work. The second one is involved in a hobby that they're interested in. So I don't know that it's necessarily opportunity more so than perhaps there are people who are very powerful. The media is so into them. I mean, it's a heady experience that probably none of us understand for people to be dying just to touch you or breathe the same air as you. And sadly, one can imagine that that can lead somebody to believe that they can do things that are inappropriate or get away with it. Clearly, as you said, cheating is inexcusable and it's disgusting. But nonetheless, so many humans are doing it that clearly it's something we have to look at and understand it on a deeper level. The answer to getting around it is number one is the man who has cheated has to have true remorse. Now, this is something that for too many men doesn't happen until much later. I think most cheating men do eventually feel bad and, whether stay married or divorced, wish it never would have happened in the end. But for a long time, very often, they want to really play it down and poo-poo it and say, okay, it's over, you know, let's get over it. And that's, of course, quite convenient for them. very often there's been tremendous lying involved, and that makes the trust factor just quite impossible. So it requires tremendous remorse. But beyond that, it requires a man to look within himself and see what's going on with him emotionally and his life emotionally. You know, cheating men in my study, 77% of them reported having best friends who cheated, compared to faithful men who only less than half of them reported having best friends who cheated. So it's not just enough to say I'm sorry and I feel bad. It's to say, what am I going to do now to change my life, both on the outside of my marriage and also on the inside of my marriage, where my marriage can be a better emotional, loving environment? What do I have to do to make that happen? And of course, what does my spouse have to do to join me in that venture? Because if you don't do that, then what unfortunately happens in about half of these cheating relationships is people cheat again. And too many women kind of feel like, well, what am I supposed to do? He apologized, nothing's changed, but I got to go on. And that's sticking your head in the sand and making yourself highly susceptible to be cheated on another time.
Now, it's interesting you mention that, because it mentions in your bio that you're a rabbi in addition to being a family counselor and an author. This is kind of like King David, isn't it? It's like Nathan came to him and said, you are the man. You know, it's almost like all this media attention has focused the spotlight on Tiger, going kind of, you are the man. And it's interesting to see what his response will be.
Well, yeah, I mean, clearly there's, for different men, it's different things, and there's some sense of conquest and domination, and it is, you know, I think that men have far smaller egos than both women and men themselves think, and I think that it's hard for women to understand that a woman, you know, thinking great of a man should mean so much to a guy, but unfortunately, I think many of us, our egos are not as strong as we publicly make ourselves out to be, and therefore, a small kindness and kissing up, unfortunately, goes a long way. And there are, you know, men who feel powerful and want that sense of conquest or being dominant. That does get them in trouble, and that psychological piece. That's what I mean, that moving on from it, it's more than just saying, I'm sorry I hurt you. It's really having a much deeper understanding about, you know, what got me there, not my best friends, my environment, and internally, you know, what goes on with me, to identify my history, that what was going on every step of the way, so that I can learn more about myself to avoid it in the future. Because in our day and age, especially with these people, it's going to happen again.
Now, what role do the men that surround this, you've briefly touched on this, but particularly in high-profile figures, not just sports figures, but also politicians. We had a senator from Nevada here in Washington who admitted to an affair with a staff member's wife, someone he knew, so a trusted friend. What role do the people that surround the person play in either preventing cheating, or once cheating has occurred, in restoring the marriage or the relationship?
Yeah, I mean, it has a lot to do with things. You know, the environment that we put ourselves in does equalize things. You know, very often, and that's when I studied men and found out that cheating men had many more best friends, or many more cheating men had best friends who cheated, that made sense. It made sense that if you're hanging around people who cheat, and you start to think, well, this is kind of what people do. It's not like I'm doing something so unusual or bizarre, even though it's wrong. So clearly your environment dictates that, and I think people hang around environments where that is seen as just awful and horrible. You know, it takes a different look at it. So our environment is important. I mean, there's two ways to prevent affairs. One is secluding yourself, not going there. You know, it's putting limits on yourself. We all have to do this to some extent as human beings. So, you know, to have a colleague with whom you're having a late night meeting regularly and you're talking about all kinds of stuff late at the office, that's stupid. You know, that's the bad recipe. It's a recipe for disaster. But it's obviously not only about what I shouldn't be doing, that's number one, but it's also about what I should be doing, and that's about putting that effort and energy into our relationship. I mean, did you know that the average U.S. couple spends anywhere from 12 to 18 minutes a day talking? I mean, that's deplorable. I mean, what are we going to be successful at in anything else in our lives spending 12 to 18 minutes a day? So what we've really done is kind of starved a lot of our relationships at home, and, you know, we're looking and being surprised when other things that we spend a lot of chattiness and a lot of that fun stuff in, that somehow that's propping up. You know, I've talked to a lot of mistresses who have said to me over and over again, you know, if I tell you, if he would have spent the amount of time and energy romance on his wife that he did with me, he would have had a great relationship with his wife, even though he was complaining or whatever. So very often it's about reevaluating where your marriage has been and where you need to get it so that there's much more effort and energy being put into that marriage relationship.
All right. Now, is there anything that I haven't asked you about this particular circumstance you think that that needs to be part of what people hear on this?
Well, I can just talk about one practical example about getting your marriage back together. Is that okay?
That'd be great.
Okay. So one practical thing I ask all couples to do is a date night. And, you know, you've heard about it from even up to the president, of course, although it's always easier when you have your own aircraft. But nonetheless, when I tell people to go out a date night, that they have to go out alone, a minimum of 2 hours, and I say that you can talk about anything you want except three things, and that's money, work, and kids. And people always look at me and they laugh because they say, well, that's all we ever talk about. What are we going to talk about? And I explain, look, I don't know, but I'll tell you that when you are falling in love, you are not incessantly talking about the stress of money, work, and kids. And I know that because you never would have gotten married under those circumstances. So it's not what got you here. It's not what's going to sustain you. We need to find practical techniques to build into our weekly time where we build an emotionally passionate relationship, where we have a love-centered marriage and a love-centered life. In addition to saying, I'm not going to go there, and I'm going to put certain limits about how close I get to people outside of my spouse who are members of the opposite sex.
All right. Thank you very much. That is M. Gary Newman. He is a rabbi, licensed family counselor, and a Florida Supreme Court certified family mediator. He is also the author of The Truth About Cheating, Why Men Stray, and What You Can Do to Prevent It.